So, if you have your Bible this morning, I would like to invite you to join me in the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And again, those joining online, we invite you to join us as well, be a part, participate. And Matthew chapter 7. And let me pray. This scripture came to my mind. I think it might have been on my way here earlier this morning. I usually come around earlier and just check, pick up any trash that was thrown since I picked it up Saturday and just check temperature and so forth. And I remembered a scripture where a group of people came to one of Jesus' followers. It was Peter's brother, Andrew. And they said, "We want to see Jesus." And I just want to pray that today. Lord, no one is here to see me. We need to see you with our heart, with the eyes of faith today. So we pray that by your Spirit, you would reveal yourself to us. And Lord, draw us to yourself. I pray that, Lord, you would soften hard hearts. Lord, that anyone wayward, that you would just draw us. And Lord, help us in your mercy. Show us our need today, and then help us to look to you to meet that need for your own purpose and glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 7, this is Jesus speaking, beginning in verse 21. He's toward the end of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." So the words were right. "But he who does," notice the contrast, "says and does, who does the will of my Father in heaven." Verse 22, "Many," that's a sobering word to me. "Many will say to me in that day," speaking of the day of judgment, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" In other words, as your representative. Now, whether they actually did it or not, I don't know, but they thought they did. That's why it's so important. We must realize it is possible to be in church, but not in Christ. We can be religious and not righteous. And so then Jesus goes on. I'll read verse 22. "And then he will declare to them, 'I never knew you.'" We never had a relationship. They knew about him, but didn't know him. "I never knew you. Depart from me. You thought you were doing many wonders in my name, but you were really practicing lawlessness." This morning, I thought about what the title of the message, because it's a little different than what I'm typically used to. I've tried to give maybe a scriptural truth like Jesus is still changing lives, or maybe a practical step for us like the Sunday between 2025 and 2026. Remember the Lord and press on. But this morning, it's a little different title, but because of just the nature of it, I just felt like this is what I wanted to call it. Based on what Jesus said, that many will be deceived, I just want to call it, "This is too important to miss." This is too important to miss. Would you please look at someone next to you and tell them that? This is too important to miss. And when you get your hands free, if you would join me in the book of Romans chapter 5. And just while you're turning, I want to basically ask and answer these two questions this morning in the time we have. What is sin and what is the good news? What is sin and what is the good news? I answered those two questions and others in a devotional I wrote called Walk in Newness of Life. And I said in the introduction, if you have read it, that I wrote this devotional as a tool to lead people to Jesus, to encourage us in our walk with the Lord, and to equip us to make disciples. And so I brought this was a little I guess if a little box that I think my dad has some of his tools in it. And so there's a couple of those thick pencils down there that you bark wood with when you cut or whatever. And I think the rule and a hammer and a square. And so I thought, well, this will be an appropriate place. This is another tool, I hope, if it's used that way. And that is my prayer, that it would be used as a tool to basically disciple people as Jesus commanded us. And the first 3 days, because what I'm covering today are days 4 and 5. The first 3 days, is there a God? Can the Bible be trusted? And was Jesus raised from the dead? If you believe what I just said, then I want to ask you this to think about. Why do you believe what you believe? And can you share it with someone? If you really believe this book is inspired by God, why do you believe it and can you share it with someone? Because the Bible says we're always to be ready to share the reason for the hope that we have in Christ. So let's look at these two questions. What is sin and what is the good news? So here is a simple definition of what is sin. And I'm going to read a scripture here in 1 John before I join you there in Romans 5. It's 1 John 3:4 that basically answers that question. I'll read it in the New Living Translation. It says, everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. So sin is just simply breaking God's word. Okay? Sin is breaking God's word. When Adam and Eve sinned, they broke God's word. They broke their relationship with God. Sin entered the human heart, and sin entered the world. So sin entered the human heart. Let me just ask you this. Do you ever sense that pull in your heart to do something that you know is wrong? I didn't say if you didn't know it was wrong. I said, sometimes don't we sense that? We know it's wrong and we still want to go there. That's because sin entered the human heart and it entered the world. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world and then death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. So sin entered the human heart and sin entered the world. That separation from God, the Bible calls spiritual death. And spiritual death led to physical death. Now, if you look over in chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, there is a penalty for breaking God's law. If we break man's law and we're caught, there's a penalty, there's a fine, there's incarceration, there's something. And so breaking God's law also has a penalty. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. It's that separation from God and again, eventually physical death. I thank God for the second part of that though. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you just hold your spot there just a moment, let me give you one more scripture if you want to write it down. Jesus spoke this in John 3:18. John chapter 3 and verse 18, Jesus said that he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned when? Already. Is condemned already. So if we believe, we're not condemned. If we don't believe, already condemned. So Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. Our sin condemned us and separated us from a holy God. And I want to, maybe I'll go into this a little bit more as we do a little follow-up on Wednesday. But some people look at this, just all the evil and the suffering in the world today, and they conclude that there is no God. Some people, and I'm not making light of this, have experienced great personal trauma and tragedy, and they can come to that same conclusion. Well, there's no God. There can't be a God. I'll be honest with you. In my own life, I've gone through hard times, especially maybe in my younger years, where I wanted to blame God for what I had, you know, maybe somebody I felt like wronged me or something. And I felt like he could have done something about it, and he didn't. I don't know if maybe any of you can relate to that or not. And so whether it's by observation or by experience, people may conclude that there is either no God, or if there is a God, he doesn't care, or he won't do anything about it to correct the wrongs. I'll just share one experience with you. I was up in New York one year. I used to take yearly trips up there, take groups up to serve in various churches and ministries in the city. And we were in Coney Island. We were near where they do the 4th of July and so forth. And there was a lady there I met in, I think it was 96. They called her Pastor Debbie. She was a intravenous drug user and was homeless and lived under the boardwalk at Coney Island for 17 years. God saved her and healed her body from that and called her to reach the people right there where she was. So we did outreaches, passed out food, shared the gospel, shared testimonies. And one day I was out there outside the little mission, and I'm just gonna tell you what he told me. If it was a lie, he told it, I don't know. He said he was from Russia, and he said that, I don't know if it was mafia or whoever, but he said people were dogging him. And he wasn't, you know, he's by himself. He can't fight the, you know, that system or whatever. And there was nothing he could do about it. He felt so helpless. And he said, why doesn't God do something about that? I understand. That's a fair question. So, but here's what I told him. First of all, God cares deeply. He sees, and he will correct every evil and every wrong in his time. I said, but let's say Jesus returned last night. Every wrong is corrected, and the world is run as it should be now. I said, would you have been ready? Because God's not just hanging out while we suffer, waiting before he feels like we have enough to intervene. This is what 2 Peter 3:9 says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right now, God is lovingly and patiently giving us a chance to turn to him before it's too late. This is too important to miss. Now, again, the wages of sin is death. God is a God of justice. He does not and he cannot overlook sin. The sentence of death must be executed. And I want to emphasize that before I get to the good news, because I really believe that if we do not realize the bad news of our true spiritual state before a holy God, how can we really appreciate the grace and the life-changing power of the good news? So I think it's important we know our true condition, but then thank God for the good news. So when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They tried to hide. They tried to hide from God. Just for the record, we can't hide from God, all right? That's And they sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. Now, we still have the same tendency, I believe, today. Maybe I can think, of something that we tried to hide or cover up from somebody else. Maybe we tried to hide something from our parents when we were coming along. Hide something from our spouse, hide something from our children, church, you know, you get the idea. So we still have that tendency. They tried to run from God and tried to cover it up. That's what they did. What did God do? God promised. In fact, God reached out to them to draw them back to his self, to his love and his will. And God promised that he would send someone to crush the head of that serpent, the devil. And who is the one who came? Jesus. He gave Jesus, the one who came to crush the head of Satan at the cross. So he promised to send one, but he also provided something for them. He said, those fig leaves are not enough. I'm going to provide a covering for you from an animal skin, giving us the truth that, two truths. One is, we cannot offset our sin against God by our own effort. Some people have the mentality that God has this great set of scales in heaven, and you put all your good deeds on one side, put all your bad deeds on the other side, and if you're good outweigh the, you made it. Jesus said we're condemned when? Already. There are no scales like that in heaven. So we can't make ourselves righteous before a holy God. But the second truth is, just as God provided the covering for Adam and Eve by an innocent animal, God provided the perfect covering for us. And the Bible says our righteous efforts are like filthy rags. I don't want to stand before God one day in filthy rags of my own self-righteousness. But when we believe in Jesus as Lord, God said, just like I provided a covering for them, I'm going to provide a covering for you. And it's not just a covering, it's my very righteousness that I'm giving to you. And I think of it as the robe of righteousness. Let me read this to you in 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. It says, for he made him, the Father made him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we can trade in our filthy rags, and God will give us his robe of righteousness. And when he looks at us, he says, in that robe, you know, you'd look just like my son. Have any of you ever seen a family member, or you wore something, or you had somebody wear something? You said, man, you remind me of your, when you're wearing that. God provides that covering for us so that we can be made righteous before a holy God. Thank God. I hope you see this is too important to miss. Oh my goodness. God provided the perfect sacrifice. So that's what is sin. Now, let me just focus on this part. What is the good news? The good news is that God loved us so much that he gave his sinless son to be miraculously born of a virgin to enter the human family. Jesus willingly suffered and died on the cross to bear the judgment we deserved for our sins. We don't have to bear them now. Thank God Jesus bore them on the cross for us. And this is how 1 John 4:10 describes it. If you want to just write the reference down, I'll read it from the New Living Translation. This is in the devotional as well. It says, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Would you read this out loud with me? Let's see if we keep that on the screen. Let's read it together. Ready? This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So thank God for that. Not only did he die, Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, and now he is seated beside his Father in heaven. And through Jesus, we can be forgiven and restored to right relationship with God. Some of you, probably many of you, are familiar with John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm not being mean to say this. I only want to say it in love. I care that people aren't deceived. Again, that when Jesus said, many will say to me in that day. All roads do not lead to heaven. And there aren't a million ways to God. Now, we can come maybe all unique different ways, but if we're going to get to God, we've got to bring Jesus in somehow. I've used this example before when Brittany was living at home. She don't have to live at home. She could come home now. If she were to come to our front door with a friend of hers, she wouldn't make her friend stand out on the front stoop while she came in the house and make sure it was okay. If you're with her, you're in. The Bible says Christ suffered once, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. If we're with Jesus, we're in. He brings us to God. And that's the password. And thank God that I know some may want to basically condemn God that he didn't make a million ways. How about thank him that he made a way? He didn't owe us anything. He could have just said, y'all no sweat off my nose. I'll let angels do my will. But he's a father. And he wants sons and daughters who will love him back because of the great love that he has for us. And he puts up with a bunch of mess from his children. And thank you, Lord, that he does. I'm not making light of it. Thank God for his grace to keep working on us, to change us, to save us, and then to change us to be more like Jesus. That was the goal. So salvation is available, but it's not automatic. Jesus said this in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news, believe in the gospel. So Jesus said, God convicts us of sin. God's spirit convicts us of unbelief. That's the root sin. But he also draws us to believe the good news with our heart that Jesus is Lord, and we must believe with the heart. See, I can believe something in my head, and like, I should probably get more rest. I should probably eat better. I should probably move more. I should probably get this spending under control. I can believe all that in my head and not let it translate into action. But what I genuinely believe in my heart does affect how we live. So it must be with the heart. Would you turn to Romans chapter 10, if you're right there in chapter 6? Romans chapter 10, in these last few verses. The scripture says this, beginning in verse 9, Romans 10, 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, in other words, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart. So that's where the problem was. Remember, I said our heart has that tendency to want to do wrong. But if we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be rescued. Verse 10 explains it. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. In other words, when we believe with our heart, it brings us into God's righteousness. That's how we receive it. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So to believe with the heart is a commitment. That's where I think we can miss it. All you got to do is believe. That's true, but it must be the right belief. Everyone believes something. Do we believe in our heart that Jesus is my Lord? It's personal. Remember, they had the right words, had what looked like the right works, but didn't have the right relationship. I never knew you. That's why I believe this is just too important to miss. But when we believe, God's Spirit does it. It's a supernatural work that we're born again. The Bible says this. Let me give you just a couple more verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. Let me read this to you. It says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will call Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except how? By the Holy Spirit. Now, can anyone mouth the words? Of course. I'm not trying to be funny here or mean, but some people could probably train a parakeet or something to repeat the word. All right. But it comes from the heart. It's that supernatural work of God's Spirit. Then we're born again. And that makes all the difference in the world. That's why I said this is too important to miss. And I'll sum it up like this. I think we put that on the screen. It's on day 5 in the devotional. If you have that, you can see it. But I would just sum it up like this. We've all sinned. Our sin separates us from God. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. Jesus was raised from the dead. And if we believe in Jesus as Lord, he saves us. Now, if you want to, you can take a screenshot of that if it's any help, or use it, it's in the devotional. But there's sin, separation, a savior, a spirit, and salvation, all right there. If we get away from this, I think we've gotten away from the gospel, the full package. So we've got to, I hope you sense my heart in this. I hope those of you joining, I don't want anyone to doubt your salvation. I just want to make sure you're in and that you know it, because God wants us to know it. So let me give you the last two verses if you want to write them down. Romans 10, 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let me ask you this. Is God drawing you, or has he drawn you in the past to believe in your heart that Jesus really is Lord and he is your Lord. You know him. And if you're not sure, or if you haven't, is he drawing you right now? Is he drawing you to believe and to trust Jesus, to realize, man, I have sinned. I'm not right with God, but I want to be. All you have to do is just believe his word, this testimony that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. He was raised on the third day. And if you will simply come to him with that faith and say, God, I want you to forgive me. I do believe Jesus died for me. I believe he was raised from the dead and I want to follow him. Please forgive me and help me. If we do that, God will save us. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you have God's written word that you have eternal life. Last verse, 1 John chapter 5. Let me read it to you. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. The scripture says this: these things I have written to you. That is important. These things I have written to you. So if we take away the inspiration and authority of God's word, we take away the assurance of our salvation. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may I hope to make it one day. No, that you may know that you have. That's right now, that you present tense have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Good news, if you do that, God is your Father. His Holy Spirit lives in you, and you are on your way to heaven. And this is too important to miss. Now, live in the awareness of that truth. Live in the awareness that the Lord is with you and he's for you. That's important. It's not just, okay, well, I'm on my way to heaven now. No, let's live it right now. The Lord is with us. He's for us. And that means in every blessing and victory, he's with me and he's for me. But it also means in every temptation and every failure and every battle and every trial and every hurt that someone does against me and all of it, he's still with me and he's still for me. That's why I said, I need him right now. Thank God for eternal life, but I need him right now, and we can get to know him. He's our Father. That's why all of those activities that we typically might associate with Christianity, like prayer, worship, fellowship, scripture, they help us to get to know our Father better, and they strengthen us so we grow in our faith to become more like him and fulfill God's purpose for our lives. If we're here, God has a reason for it. He's a God of purpose. I really believe that. So are you saved? And if you are you following Jesus? Staying close to him. That's all I've got. I believe this is too important to miss. I don't know how else to share the need. What is sin? And the remedy. What is the good news? Jesus is it. Do you know you're saved today based on the written word of God? Can we close in prayer? Lord, I thank you for that assurance. I know it had nothing to do with me. It was all you. If you didn't draw me, I wouldn't be here. If you didn't convict me, if you didn't save me, I wouldn't be here. But Lord, you did. Thank you that you showed me my need and you did draw me and you did save me. And I'm thankful that you're with me now. I pray maybe there's someone here today, whether this place or watching, maybe they're not sure or maybe they know they're not. All I can ask, Lord, is in your mercy, would you reveal that need? And then just draw us to yourself. draw us to your will. Lord, help us to just call on you. It's not about repeating the right words. It's about a right heart and faith. So Lord, help us today to know you and to know it, but then also help us to live it. In Jesus' name.